Praise you, Lord. Thank God. Well, yesterday, last week, we talked about what I called Think on These Things. And as we came into the new year, I encourage you, if you didn't hear that message, to go back and listen to it. We're going to recap a little bit before we go on, but I encourage you to listen to it. As we're coming into this new year, just to remind ourselves of what the Word has to say about fixing our minds where they need to be. There are some things that God has told you to do, things that God's been dealing with you on, things that maybe you were already doing at the end of last year. He doesn't operate on year boundaries. But wherever you are, whatever God is showing you to do, and maybe there are some specific things that He's showing you as you come into the new year, that we would keep our minds on those things and keep our minds on the Word of God so that we don't get pushed off. Because there is somebody that would like you to push you off. His name is Satan. He is real, and he is our adversary, and he is a deceiver. Now let's go through a couple of these scriptures just in getting going, just recapping quickly. Let's turn over to Philippians 4:8. And then we're going to use our scripture sheet a little bit just to go through some of these quickly. Or we'll take as long as we need to, but I can't re-preach last week's message. Philippians 4:8. Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are pure, or whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Meditate on these things. That's where our minds are supposed to be fixed. Is on what he said, on things that are things that can make it through this filter. The Word of God, things that are good and true and lovely. We ought not be thinking on things that don't meet these criteria. Just chalk it up. If it doesn't meet this, it ought not go through our minds. We need to fix our minds on these things. And that takes real effort. Because there are so many things in this world that are trying to pull you off. And that's what we're going to focus on today. But we need to just be aware of it going in, that there's going to be a temptation for us to get pulled off. So we need to just decide we're going to fix our minds on what God has said, on what He said in His Word, on what He's told us to do for our family, on what He's told us to do for our job situation, on what He's told us to do in church, gathering together, what He's told us to do in our finances. He doesn't zigzag. He doesn't change His mind. He's going to tell you and help you step by step by step. So if He's told you to do something, fix your mind and go on that, and don't be detoured. Don't get pushed off. And so we talked about that some last week. Let's just read through some of these scriptures. Look at your sheet there. This same verse in the New Living Translation says, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise." I like that. Fix your thoughts. And then we turn to 2 Corinthians 3 through 5. Let's read through that on your sheet. I really encourage you, if you didn't hear last week's message, go back and listen to it. It'll help you. It'll get you centered up on what you need for this year. But we're going to recap a little bit. For it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." 2 Corinthians, same verse in the Amplified Bible says, "For though we walk or live in the flesh, We are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh using mere human weapons. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. Talking about in your head, things that got started when you were five. Maybe you didn't have a godly upbringing. Something that got inserted. Something that started getting built and got reinforced over the years to where it is stronghold in your mind. God can take care of those. How do we take care of them? Through the Word of God. We can tear those down. They don't have to stay. Doesn't matter how long they've been there. Verse 5, inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud, there's so much pride. We all have to contend with pride and stay on guard because the devil fell because of pride. And he is the god of this world. It's rampant. But there is so much in our day and age. Who is God? Prove that to me that there's a God. Show me. If God's real, why don't he just prove it to me right now? He doesn't owe you anything to prove you, and he does not heed what a man's going to tell him to do. Well, prove yourself. See, he didn't prove myself, so that proves he didn't exist. That is so ignorant. Calling the Almighty, saying, you prove yourself to me. When you look around and you see creation, we have his word. We have so many things that he has shown us. And he said, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. He is not going to violate his word on some whim of a man. It is arrogant, presumptuous, and plain ignorant to say to the Creator, prove yourself or I won't believe in you. Good night. That's like one of your little children. Hopefully they don't talk like this, but you know, kids are kids growing up. They don't always know. Well, you prove that to me, Daddy, and then I'll believe you. Well, maybe you don't know everything that you ought to. That just coming from somebody. I mean, imagine what we look like to the Creator. But he knows we're dust. He loves us. The fact is, that's why he's already seen ahead and made provision and sent Jesus. Verse 5, inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. So we need things that do come in and try to attack or try to get us off. We need to cast them down. We need to refute them. Anything that's a reasoning against the Word of God, or you have a thought, you know what God's told you, you've already established it, you've waited on God, you know that this is what God's told you to do, and you get going in it, and you have something rise up that's tough, and then you have a thought, well, you ought to quit that, that's not what you're probably supposed to do. If you know it's God, and you know attacks are going to come, and you know circumstances are not going to be easy, then when that comes, you need to refute it, and cast it down and say, God said this, and I'm not changing. You don't sit there and entertain it for a while. You know what that means. We use that all the time. But what is it when you entertain somebody? Oh, come on in. Would you like some coffee? Sit down. Here's the fire. Why don't you sit down and let's talk for a little bit? When you're entertaining thoughts, it's like, well, the thought comes, and instead of knocking it out, it's something that you know you should not be thinking about or something that's counter to what God's told you. Instead of saying, no, I'm not going to think about that, you say, well, what about that? Let's look at that a little bit. And you may not say this, but this is what's happening. Let's just, remember Gloria Copeland said it one time, let's just turn it over in our mind a few times. Nah, just look at that. Look at that. That's how it starts. Well, look at that. This is how the enemy works. Well, just look at that. Why don't you? Are you sure about that? Why don't you look at that? Eve, are you sure that he doesn't want you to eat that fruit? Sure he's not holding out on you? Why don't you think about that? That's what he does. We ought to cast it down and say, no. Somebody said, you can't stop thoughts from coming in your mind, but you can stop from entertaining them, just like you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop them from building a nest in your hair. You know? Yeah, the thoughts are going to come. And some people have confusion because they think, oh, I had a bad thought, that means I'm bad. No, temptation's going to come. What it's what we do with it. Because, see, people say, well, I must not be saved, or I'm not being what I should because I had a bad thought. Good night. Everybody has thoughts come to them. What do you do with them? It's what you do with them. If you say, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. You're walking in the mall there, and you have a thought, why don't you stuff that, you know, off the rack, take that merchandise off the rack and stuff it in your shirt and walk out. When's the last time? I mean, you can act on that. Or you can say, I'm not doing that. What are you, nuts? You know, but people, just because you had that thought doesn't mean there's something wrong with you. If you act on it, now you've broken the law. Well, same thing with anything else. It's what we do with them. Just because a thought, see, this confuses people because they think if they got tempted that they sinned. And then they get condemned. And the devil is real quick to condemn you. He'll say, well, you had that thought. If you didn't entertain it and you cast it down, you haven't done anything wrong. It's, you know, when you cross that line, it's when you said, okay, yeah, I'm going to act on that. That's when you need to say, okay, I missed it, go on. But some people, because they have thoughts, are constantly going back and asking forgiveness to God for something that they didn't do. They didn't do anything wrong. And this is why people get beat up and they think, well, I can't keep up. It's like I'm doing something all wrong all the time. No, you're not doing anything wrong. The devil's tempting you. And what we need to do is reject it and say, no, I'm not going to think on that. So we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ. And we looked at Revelation 12. It says, and war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. We said he's a deceiver, he's a liar. We read another scripture that he is the liar and the father of it. He cannot tell the truth. He lies all the time. He's a deceiver. And he comes to deceive you. So when he's telling you something and it looks, you have a thought, well, and it doesn't come in the third person. He doesn't say, I am the devil and I'm going to lie to you now. It sounds more like, I'm going to lose my job. First person. My kid is not going to turn out right. He's going to end up in prison. That's what it sounds like. What do we need to do? Refute that, cast it down, and speak what the word says. Just like a iron. You just say, no, that's not coming in. No, I reject that. If it doesn't go through the filter of God's word and what he's told me to do, I reject it. But we need to know that he is a deceiver. We read some definitions. To deceive here means to cause to roam from safety, truth, or virtue, to go astray, to deceive, to seduce, to wander, to be out of the way. This is what he does. Isn't he doing that with mankind? He's seducing them, making them wander, making them go away from the Lord. There is no God, he says. You don't need Jesus. That's a crutch for weaklings. That's a lie. He exalts people. Oh, well, you're better now. You don't need that. Yeah, because he wants to control. He wants to control that person's lives. And whether you know it or not, you're either listening to the devil or you're listening to God. There is no neutral party. Yeah, he can get you going in a direction and you just listen to your own thoughts because you've been pushed long enough. I'm not saying every thought is from Satan himself. I'm saying he's the author of it. And either we're yielding to the enemy or we're yielding to God. Vine says that this word means to deceive by leading into error, to seduce. In the Webster's, one definition of deceive is to cause to accept as true or valid what is false or invalid. One of my Bible teachers in Rhema put it like this. He said, deceive means to cause to think on things that are not true. That's what the enemy does. He comes and tries to put something in front of you and says, what do you think about this? This looks pretty good, huh? and he causes you to think on something that's a lie. It's a mirage. But he's trying to get you to think on it, to accept it, so that you're led astray, so that you're seduced. So that kind of brings us up. Those are some of the things we covered. Today I want to focus on how do some of these things come, and how can we avoid some of these things. One thing that we have to be very careful of is what we're letting in our eye gates and our ear gates. Because the world is full of doubt and unbelief. Just like we said, people have bought the enemy's lies, hook, line, and sinker. One thing that he tells them is that he doesn't exist. First and foremost, what devil? Some people, they hear me speaking like this, they'd be like, you fool. There's no devil. There's no God. There isn't anything. Lie. And you've bought it completely. Because if there's no devil, the enemy can do what he wants because he doesn't exist. Right? If you don't believe there's a threat, you're not going to try to defend yourself against that threat. There's no chance you're going to end up in hell because hell's a figment of somebody's imagination. It's an old story. Lie. It's deception. It's woven in to the fabric of so many thoughts. Those are strongholds. And they get passed down from generation to generation. We're supposed to teach our children to be godly, to line up with the Word of God. But people teach their children one way or another. By example, we teach our children, even when we say, well, you just figure out for yourself what to believe. Well, that child will find something to believe in. But we're supposed to teach our children and put the Word of God into them so that they're armed against this. But the world is so full of these lies, we have to be on guard and watch what we put in and where we're spending our time and our focus. Now listen to what I'm saying. This is not to say, well, you ought to be doing this instead of this. Listen and let the Holy Spirit put His finger on what you need to tweak now. Don't try to do everything in your own flesh. We just need to know that there is poison in so many areas. And what happens is this. Let's say this is the standard. This is the standard, let's say, 60 years ago. 70 years ago. What happens is that society starts moving like this, and everybody looks. They look around, and everybody's, you know, kind of doing the same thing, and they think, well, I'm still okay. I'm better than this person, better than this person. The church is guilty of the same thing. And so they look around and say, yeah, I mean, I'm better than this person. I'm living okay. We shouldn't be judging, comparing each other. I'm not saying that, but people, that's what people do. They say, well, according to society, I mean, you know, I'm not too far out of the mainstream. I'm doing well, and society just keeps moving like this gradually. And people are still looking around saying, well, I mean, you know, it's not that. I want to be in touch with society. I want to be okay. And then pretty soon they're over here. And they look around and they still say, I'm not that much different. But where are they from where they started? This is the standard. This is where we ought to be. And you know as well as I do that pop culture and different things, I'm not saying we ought to put our heads under a rock and be irrelevant. I work in the workplace right now. I fully understand. Okay? We can relate to people, but we do not need to swallow certain things and have a steady diet of things that are going to pull us away. If we're talking about, now we start out saying, think on these things. Think on God's Word. Think on what He's told you to do. Part of the issue can be if we're constantly, we say, oh, yes, I'm going to do that. I'm going to focus on the Word. But then we put these other things in. We have a steady diet of what the world is telling us. So much of what's on TV is made by people that don't have the same perspective at all that we do from the Word of God. In fact, so many of them are openly touting that there is no God and a godless. And so we have to be very careful when we watch a certain movie. You watch a certain TV show. It may be mainstream, but when mainstream is putting ideas and worldview out there that is contrary to what God is telling you to do, and then we wonder why that stuff is coming back to us. Have you ever watched a movie? It seems like there's about, you know, a couple days where if you watch certain things, a couple days go past and it's just kind of, I mean, things might go through your head even that next day, but a couple days, it's like your subconscious is processing stuff, and then things from that are coming back to your consciousness. Blips, different situations, whatever. You're going to deal with that, and there's images that you'll see that your mind won't erase. Now, if you never saw it, you will never have to deal with it, and you won't have to cast down certain things. And sometimes we're on the front end saying, I've got to cast that down. And then we go and put a bunch more into it, into ourselves, and then we go, but I got to cast that down. What we need to do sometimes is step up and stop back a little ways and stop putting it in. Now, let me say that I'm not saying this to condemn any one of us. So don't, because the enemy will do that. Say, oh, I just can't do that. No, that's a lie. We're talking about what God said. Do we want to go up? Do we?
Yes.
So God will show you, okay, lay off that part. Don't, just stop watching that. Just don't read that. You can watch the news. You get on your favorite internet website every morning and spend so much time. You read those headlines and stuff is putting stuff into your head that you don't necessarily, I'm not saying you keep out of the loop in news, but I'm saying there's so many things that it's not really newsworthy, and it's more, you know, it interests our flesh. You read it, it's like, ooh, well, what happened to that person? And then you got to deal with that and erase it from your head. I really don't want to know what that person did that was so out of the ordinary. I don't want to know how that person got into adultery again. I don't need to know that. And you can put that stuff in, and then you have to deal with it that night. So much, if we'll stop the feedback loop and let God show us what things to lay down, we won't have so much in the back end to deal with. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 11. Praise God. Second Corinthians 11, verse 2. It says, "For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it." Verse 3 says, "For I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Do you realize so much of life really is simple? But isn't it true? We live in 2014 now. Oh, it's so complicated. Oh, I'm so busy. So much multitasking. We live just in so much more of a complex society. You hear this all the time. Well, okay, we do in some ways. So how can we minimize the impact of that? Some of it, we are inserting ourselves. Who says we have to check our phone 15 times a half hour and post stuff left and right? Now, I'm not getting on anything. I'm just saying you check your hearts. But there's a lot of noise that our minds are constantly being distracted from other things. Busyness, constant. Yes, the world does certain things. But we got to look. What is our time going to? How is our mind being distracted? Well, I got to find out about this, and I got to find out about this, and I got to keep up about this and this. And then we wonder, why? Where are my thoughts going? Why are my thoughts over here? I really want to have my thoughts more on God. Well, it starts by looking at some, taking some of that out, taking some of the complexity out. And not focusing on some of the things that are not going to do what we want. They're not going to bring us to the right place in our life. Simplicity in Christ. Just chugging along, doing what God told us to do, loving our spouse, loving our family, taking care of our job, taking care of our health, taking care of our loved ones and our relationships that are really important. I mean, there's not really a whole lot in the world. It's just that the face of it's changed, but it's not that complex. We make it complex, and that is part of the problem. We're focused on 50 things at once and not taking care of the certain things that we want our minds on certain things, but it's easy to be distracted, and we have to be on guard that we are being sold a bill of goods through so many avenues in this world. There is a certain worldview that's being pushed. Most, like I said, most TV shows and movies, when you watch them, something will happen and somebody will get hurt and you know, somebody will leave somebody or whatever, and you're looking at it and go, oh, isn't that bad? What? But you have to look at, where is that person writing this from? They're not even writing it that there is a God that could help them through it. And so you're looking at that and your brain's rehearsing and bringing it. What if I were in that situation? What would I do? And oh my goodness, that's that their child. That child is going through this. And what if my child were? And you feel these emotions and you go through this turmoil. And it's a movie. Yeah. Isn't that so though? You're relating to it as if that person, the way that person would, but that person does not have God. They are hopeless and they're crying, what am I going to do? And they don't have the Almighty to turn to. That's putting a video in you that can be replayed that if certain things happen to you, you don't have any hope. And what are you going to do? And it's a rehearsal of how they want, or not they want, but how you could act when similar things come on you. They're not going to say, you resist that. And you go to the Word of God and say what God's Word says, and you say strong in that, because that's not in that view.
That's right.
They're not giving you the blueprint for how to get through that God's way. They're not telling you what to do when something attacks your body. They're not telling you to resist it. They're saying there's nothing you can do. Doctors have said there's nothing you can do, so you have to die, or you have to live with it. That may be where they're coming from, but that's not where the Word of God is coming from, not what it teaches. And so if we're going to rehearse with them the thing, going through a situation without God, when certain things come to us, we can tend to behave that same way as if we don't have God. It's so hard. I just don't know why I can't get my mind straight. Well, when we got that junk floating around here, and then this other thing and this headline, it clutters our mind. Then when something comes, it's harder to refute the thoughts because there's other things coming out and going in there. Hallelujah. Let's look on our sheet there. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be, what does it say? Deceived. Who's the deceiver? Do we read? Satan is the deceiver. But don't be deceived. Don't be fooled into thinking that it says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. In the Living Translation, it says, don't be fooled by those who say such things. What he's talking about is that people were saying Jesus didn't raise from the dead. He didn't rise. There's no resurrection. And he goes into that, and then he says, don't be fooled. When people are saying that, they're deceived. He said, for bad company corrupts good character. What's he saying? You get around people that are saying certain things, questioning your beliefs, saying, what God, what, well, I can read it, you know, it's not going to affect me. It does affect you. Yes. It's something that, another thing that you're going to have to cast down. Why do we want to spend energy casting down something that we didn't have to put in? There, you're going to have challenges come in your life that you're going to have to get your mind on what the Word of God says. We don't need a bunch of trivial things that we're putting in that have nothing to do with us and then deal with that and cast that down when I could avoid it by not putting it in the first place. Now, I understand this is woven into the fabric of our society. So it takes God showing us, saying, God, show me. Show me what to change. Show me how to get rid of this. Show me how to what I need to stop. And he'll show you what is going to need to change in your life. And where you're at and how you can get your mind where it needs to be. Now, you may be not looking at anything you don't need to. Great. But I think we can all come up. All of us can come up. 2 Timothy. Let's turn over to 2 Timothy. Second Timothy 2, verse 14. It says, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun, stay away from, profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. This is happening. I mean, just stuff that just is profane and idle, stuff that we do not need to hear. It says they will increase to more ungodliness. Skip down to chapter 3, verse 13. It says, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse. So this should not surprise us. This will happen. The light's going to get lighter, but the dark will get darker. It will happen. It says, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Notice that. You must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. We need to hold fast to the Word of God. Hold fast to what we know is true and shun the other stuff. Stay centered up on what God has made clear in our lives, what the Word of God says, and center up on that. That's where we want to center the lives of our families, our personal lives, our communication. Center them up on the Word of God. Your communication with your family, center it up on that. Center up your time, your entertainment time, on something that's godly. Look at Just make sure things pass a filter, because we're bringing our kids up as well. Look on your sheet, Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world. What does he mean? You know, some people have said, well, you know, does he mean we shouldn't drive a car? That's conformed to, no. I mean, you know, do you have to not wear any fashionable clothes? No, that's not talking about that. People have made that out to be, well, no, you just stick your head in the sand and you don't want to look at all like the world. Well, you don't want to look like the world in the way it would compromise the Word of God. You know, ladies, dress modestly. Men, you know, don't dress bad. And you know, watch what we say. Do not be conformed to this world in the way they're thinking and acting in the things that disagree with the Word. Shun those things. Avoid them. You say, well, I want to fit in. Well, we're not saying about not relating to people, but this is happening. People are trying to reach people by acting like them. But if they're, again, we go back to the beginning, if this is the standard and people have gone over here and we're saying, well, we'll go over here so that we can relate. What does that mean? Well, I want to speak their language. I want to know what they're talking about. Well, what if what they're talking about is completely ungodly? Well, I want to know what the latest show is. I want to be able to talk with other people so they think I'm in the know. Yeah, I don't want to put that filth. There's certain shows that are very popular that completely impugn the name of the Lord Jesus. They say they completely are godless. They are pouring complete, you know, sexual things just out the window, left and right, perversion. And I'm going to sit there and shove that in my mind for 24 minutes so I can talk to somebody about it? No way. Seriously, that's a deception. Well, I got to relate to my friends. And that's not the way to relate. No, we're supposed to be a light. We can relate to people and talk to them. We don't have to do, if we go over here, and it's gotten into the church in different places too. Well, we gotta relate. Then where's the answer going to be?
That's right.
If we are like the world and doing everything and letting that junk come in, they're not meeting with us. We're not the Savior. We're to point him to Jesus. Right. And so we need to know what the Word of God says and stay away from the junk. Now, what I'm saying could be, you could take this hard. You take a lot of messages hard. Like, well, you better just get your life clean. No. God Almighty is quickening each individual here and putting his finger on something and saying, change that one thing. Get rid of that. This is what, just get rid of that. Thank God he does that. Aren't you glad that he doesn't say, all right, here's your list. I want it done by 5 o'clock tomorrow or you're out of here. Thank God. There's things that are wrong with us that we have no clue and we'll find out 5 years from now. And we think we're doing pretty good. Seriously. Every one of us. So it's just God knows how to get us free. Amen?
Amen.
So let's just look at, on the other hand, don't say, well, I just think I'll hold on to this and he's dealing with you on that. Don't do that. You deceive yourself. If he's saying, you get rid of that. You say, I can't. You're lying to yourself and you're putting yourself in bondage. If you say you can't let it go, you can't. And what you're saying is, the devil, enemy, has more power over me than God. I can't get out of it, even though God is telling me to do it. If God's telling you and prompting you, lay that down. Don't look at that anymore. Don't visit that website. Then he is the one that's going to give you the strength to do it. You don't have to do it in your own strength. You may be tempted, and you say, well, but I really like that. You say, God, show me how to get that out. Show me how to stop going there. Lord, give me the strength. I believe this is you. I believe that I'm just supposed to put that aside. Then ask him for the strength and start walking it out. And he'll strengthen us. He is faithful and just. And he'll get us more free. And we'll look back and say, good night. I used to look at that. Not even necessarily sin. I'm not talking about things that are really bad, but things that are just distracting you. You know, you can play too much of a game. All you think about are the rules to that game and how big technique and what to do. And it's consuming time that you could be spending with your family. And at the end of the day, unless you're professional, most of us aren't professional at some game, you know, sports or some other game, then in the end of the day, it really hasn't benefited you. No? It hasn't done what you were really wanting out of it, and we spent time in it. Thank God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Two more. I know we're going a little bit long, but let's look at these and we'll close up. I want to leave you with these, though. Deuteronomy 6. Thank you, Lord. Can you take just a little more? Just a little more? All right, because if you can, I might as well quit, because the words will just go out and not go anywhere. But if you're pulling, I think we need to just go over these. Deuteronomy 6, 6 through 9. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Now look at this. This is one of these scriptures we read when we have baby dedications. At the beginning, when people are saying, yes, this child I'm going to, you know, bring up, this is one of the ones we read. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Notice that. We could say that in different language today. You know, you shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down. We could say, you know, when you're driving to the grocery store, when you're going to the mall, you're talking to them. When you're going out for a walk together, you're doing that. When you're exercising, you're putting that in or you're talking to them. When you sit down for dinner, you're talking about godly things. When you wake up, thank God for another day. When you put your children down, you're putting godly things before them. You're just putting things. It's just the way you talk together. This is why we have a church family as well. We ought to have people that we can call and tell them if we need to be encouraged, we ought to be able, we shouldn't have to just lay out, just let me tell you this. If you talk to somebody at the church or you talk to Shelly or myself, you don't need to give us all the details in order to be helped. You could just be saying, you know what? Tell me again how God meets all my needs. And that should be a clue that we're going to pour into you some scripture. Because you start talking about the problem, well, there's this happening, and then there's this happening, and then there's this happening, and then there's this happening. Really, you just need to give a summary. Well, this is going on. Okay, let's deal with it. According to the word. What does God say? What are we going to say? What are we going to, let's pray about it. We are to be encouraged. We just ought to be sitting. This is what we need to focus on and meditate on and keep around us so that it is just constantly going in us. And pretty soon, this is what you think about. The more we put this God's word in, the more we are focusing on godly things, the easier it is to deflect this other stuff because it just isn't building any strongholds in our head. That's right. You know, it's no temptation because like, oh yeah, I used to, oh no. Don't even think about that. But God, man, talking about Him and what He's doing. Let's look at Joshua 1:8. We'll close with this. This book of the law, or you could say, now this is all they had at that point. You could say the Word of God. The word of God, the statutes of God, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. What does meditate mean? That means to mutter, to think about, that you're just going over it. You're just going over it. You're just thinking about it. In other words, you're at work. Yes, you do a good job at working, but there's a break, and you're just thinking about how God is good and how He's meeting your needs and how He's helping you with that problem you're focused on. And you go in at home, and you know, instead of listening to certain things on the radio, you could be listening to something that's going to build you up, or you could be praying. You spend some time praying in other tongues. That's a great time. It doesn't take much of your mental energy because it's your spirit praying. You can be praying, or you can be glorifying God. But it's meditating, going over and over, getting the other stuff out. Don't meditate on these other things. Meditate on the Word of God. It says, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Why? Because that's all that's going in. You're just focusing on the Word of God. And the more, wherever we are today, wherever we are in the spectrum of putting the Word in, we can come up a notch. Amen? We can go. We can just come up this week. And when we come next Sunday, we can say, I'm up a notch. I'm on my way. I may not have arrived, but I've left. I'm going up. A little bit more on God's Word. Just a little bit more of my life that used to be given to stuff that I really didn't need to be looking at. Now I'm focused on His Word. And we go another week, and it's just more. And we go another week, and it's more. To where our meditations are just on Him. Just we get up in the morning. First thoughts instead, oh no, I got to go to work and see this person. First thing is, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, that greater is He who is in me than he who is in the world. Thank you, Lord, that this is going to be a great day. Lord, give me the wisdom for today. And before you even hit the floor, amen, you're just focusing on Him. Hallelujah. Fixing our minds on His Word. Glory to God.